What time is it?
Too much.
No, yet last night.
Yeah. Like, but there was from like 8 to 9.
It absolutely does, but you know as well as I do, like,
she enjoyed everything.
The fact that it was St. Patty's Day,
yeah.
Is what made, that's what made the police say, like, get everyone to bed out here.
Right.
From a crowd control
perspective.
That's
a good idea. Mondays at noon.
It's a guy who doesn't have a real job.
Some guy who's not on the neighborhoods committee or the rules committee.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about who is and isn't.
Yeah, no.
I'm lucky. Too soon.
I'm lucky on my way.
Time plus tragedy.
Don't worry, we only have.
She's having a bus.
How many?
Is
that 69? How do we feel about something like this?
I got a couple that we're going to file for you.
Do I keep on one? Good?
I got to look at the public purpose.
I need that file too.
Must be one second.
Everybody has a
second
chance.
There
you go. I need the
I understand. I strongly believe that you will be supportive.
Okay. I'll put some language in it so you'll see it. I'm going to work on those today. I'm working on them right now, but for this special committee meeting that's right after.
Is that why you haven't gotten the money yet?
There's the constitutional question, and I just have to get with Craig Feaser, and I haven't had a chance to get on his calendar.
Okay.
But no, that, I got, now you're reminding me, I just never answered. And I'm like, because it was my intent to catch him when I saw you. So yeah, I need to have that conversation with him.
Okay, just go now. We'll just tell
him. Somebody
So,
like, you know what I want.
Yeah,
and you got all the stuff from Miami that did it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if we have questions, I can always call their attorney's office.
Okay.
Oh.
And then we're setting up a meeting with the plan.
So we'll figure out how to
put it in. And then
the one that Brooks just sent us.
Missing.
Oh, perfect. Hooray!
Because I think they might have some valuable input for you all.
Planning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's
not
necessarily as
part of it. Cool, Mary.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Double the work.
By the way,
all right, we have microphones today. Good. We're going to get started in probably a couple minutes. We're down two committee members, and we're just waiting on Councilmember Arias, who I've texted to say hopefully he's on the way, because if not, it's going to be pretty slim. Although, we'll see. So anyways, a couple more minutes and then we'll get started. Thank you. He's doing surf camp. He went to public school last year, but we just decided we wanted to do homeschooling.
Middle school, high school?
I don't know. No, yeah, we're like
young age.
For sure. What's the end of middle school, high school like?
Like,
to be seen how they are.
Like, does he just hang out with other kids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in a co-op, like, it's been time. Because elementary school is, what is it?
I don't know what a co-op is.
Like, once a week he goes to, like, homeschool.
Yeah, so that gets a requirement.
Yeah. They're not.
Huh?
Yeah, the one of them is, yeah. That's it.
Great job.
This right here. This.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was two
guys around.
That shot at each other.
I know,
you got the roll right here.
They were fighting.
Where is he?
The guys are there.
We were hanging out all weekend.
Oh, Miss Brawl. Okay.
We were busting a rug.
All right, let's just go ahead and get started, shall we? This is, where are we at? March 18th, we're going to call the Special Committee on Homelessness and Affordable Housing to order at 12:04. Thank you all for coming and continuing to come to these meetings. We appreciate it. If we could get some order on the dais, that'd be great. So we're going to go around the L right now from my left with introductions, and then we'll get started.
Colleen Hampsey, Council Research.
Mary Stephopoulos, Office of General Counsel.
Philip Peterson, Council Auditor's Office.
Jimmy Peluso, District 7.
Joe Carlucci, District 5.
I'll be right
back. All right, this is going to be a fun meeting.
You're on your own.
All right.
Make all the decisions.
Well, now, I got some sun this week, so now my face is probably even more red. All right, so I'm kind of calling this meeting the intermission meeting only because everyone's on spring break, and we wanted to have a few people come in, but they're not here, so I wanted to just take the opportunity to kind of, I guess, recap where we're at, what we've done, and what we're going to be doing going forward. So the new deadline for this committee is now May 1st. It was April 1st, but just due to how things worked out, we had two meetings canceled. Ultimately, I think one was due to a storm, another one was due to other circumstantial reasons. So Council President extended it to May 1st. So we will have four, including this one, so three additional meetings after today to finish the work. I believe it's three or four. And we'll get those dates sent out once we have them available. Unless, George, do we have those dates available? Or Marianne, somebody? Anybody? Bueller? Okay. Well, if we have them today, we'll get them out just so everyone can kind of mark their calendars. We wanted to have Kristen Reed come in. She's with Planning and Development, and just talk about the zoning changes that may or may not have already been made to allow for more density. She's out of town because it's spring break, if anyone hasn't realized. And then Alex Afakis, I've talked to him. We want to have him kind of just do a recap refresh of what Ms. Shannon gave the presentation last week, just to kind of solidify everyone's thoughts and what the recommendation is out of this committee. And then the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority, Barney's not here, but I did text Barney, and he just texted me back because he committed. He's not here, so this is dangerous when he's not here. But he said, ultimately, if this commission wanted to allocate the $1 million from the local stack funding that we have sitting right now for affordable housing, like local gap, you know, funding, he was going to ask his board to do a $1 million match on that. So I texted him, and he said, Barney, this is what happens when you're not here, man. We have not had the board meeting yet. Their board meeting is this Wednesday, 3:20 at noon, and they will discuss it. So they will have an answer for us by our next meeting. The other last really thing that we're going to, you know, I kind of wanted to call to order with none of my colleagues here, is just getting the board members solidified, because the Homeless Initiatives Commission is virtually enacted at this point. So we need to have some names and recommendations kind of put forward on that, so we can get that rolling and get the board established with members as soon as possible, especially if we're going to be doing studies and strategic planning and so on and so forth. So that's really all I got for today, you guys. I hate to drag everyone out here for that much, but that's ultimately what I have. We can open it up for public comment, but otherwise, kind of flying solo here without any of my committee members. So are there any questions or anything like that out in the audience? And if there's, yes, Ms. Cindy Funkhauser, please come up to the podium.
You could probably hear me because I'm loud, but okay. Oh, I'm going to get recorded. Cindy Pumphauser, 611 East Adams Street. My question is, and I don't see my friends here today from either DuPont or Community Foundation, but what is the situation or the status? They have a large affordable housing fund that they've been trying to put together in partnership with you guys. How does that work? I haven't heard them talk about it. It would be good to have them come and talk about that, because that's a lot of private money that can be matched with your public money. So I haven't heard anything recently about it. I just wonder where you all stand.
Right. I had a great question. I should have had that on my short agenda. But the group that you're referring to, yeah, I've met with them. They're going to be coming to present. I didn't want to have them come today just because I felt like we really needed to complete the other presentation that we had before we get into another type of concept and idea. so, yeah, they will be coming probably in the next 2 weeks or so. Great model. I am very supportive of it. I love the fact that they're leveraging dollars and they're kind of tapping into those 4% tax credits that are kind of being left on the table for right now, because they're so hard to make those deals work. So absolutely. Thank you for teeing that up for me. I appreciate it. And any other from the audience? Nope. Before we get into public comment. All right. Sherilyn Redden.
Okay. I've got a few things I want to update on.
Okay. Just name and address once you get up here. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I first want to thank you for this forum. I am a JSEB Jacksonville Small and Merchant Business, and so it's exciting to be in a space where you find other like-minded individuals that want to join the fight in changing homelessness, such as the Preservation Firm. We are a social enterprise network. We focus on preserving people, property, and progenitor. We do that through neighborhood revitalizations and developing affordable housing systems. So a lot of our network consists of REACT inspectors, program coordinators, former Department of Correction probation officers, substance abuse educators, and gang intervention specialists. Our goal is to help provide aid and support to underserved communities. I've had the privilege of participating in a neighborhood revitalization off of 11th and Myrtle, where we've developed job scopes for youth with our partner in network, where they were able to assist in revitalizing homes over there. We're looking to build and use our youth to build, but we also want to address changing homelessness. We did participate in the changing homelessness point in time check, and there we learned a whole lot about our homeless community. Additionally, within our community, we have a family of 8 that needs to be housed immediately. We want to continue to provide wraparound services to this family as the youth have reached out to us. We want to join the fight. We want to assist in wherever there is a need. My professional career consists of being a program coordinator for border court systems, a union rep president for labor, where I negotiated the contract with City of Jacksonville's management and employees, as well as served as a trial clerk for the City of Jacksonville, where I assisted judges on the felony benches. And out of that position, or out of those positions, derived my business. I hear a lot of the trauma that goes on in these communities. I am an overcomer of the trauma, and I would like to use my skills, my resources, and our partners in network to assist in joining this fight.
Wow, thank you so much. And I missed the name. What was the company that your nonprofit?
Sherilyn Redden with the Preservation Firm.
The Preservation Firm. Okay, and can you also give us your address, please?
So I would love to meet with you in regards to giving a capability briefing and outline a lot of the services that we can provide to assist.
Okay, yeah, I will. We'll probably be wrapped up here in about 5 minutes, and I'd love to talk to you more about it. And can you state your address? I'm sorry, we got to get that for the file.
Sure, 9414 East Carbondale Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32208.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sherilyn. I appreciate it. And next, and then we'll go to you, Councilman Peluso. Bernadia Samuels?
I know you were going to hack it.
Bernadia. All right, well, then how is it?
Bernadia.
Yes, sir. Public comment, that's the toughest part.
And I'm glad to share a humorous space with you.
Name and address, though, please.
Bernadia Samuels, 1854 West 24th Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
So I am partnered with the Preservation Forum, but I do have my own nonprofit called the Trap Outreach and Business Center. I created the Trap and Outreach Business Center at a time that me and my children were actually homeless. I have three children, and we were homeless for 3.5 years here in Jacksonville. Prior to becoming homeless, I did attend college. I graduated high school with, I had two children in high school. I'm proud to say my youngest is getting ready to graduate.
Hey.
Thank you.
That's huge.
I went through a lot of domestic violence early. I had a lot of information, a lot of insight. I went to college, studied business management as well as psychology. But it never seemed to help me with my life applicable skills, if that makes sense, right? So how does one with a high school diploma, college education, work experience end up homeless? And I ended up homeless because of the cycle of poverty that I grew up in, not being able to make enough money because I didn't have proper education in the fields that I needed. I found out that certifications was better than degrees in some fields if I wanted immediate employment. I also encountered a lot of trauma in my life with being sexually assaulted, physical child abuse for 10 years, being manic depression. I overcame a lot of mental health issues. And I began to look around my neighborhood. I grew up on Myrtle Avenue, and I moved out east as a teenager, and I went back to Myrtle Avenue because I wanted to help people that I saw was just like me. We lacked personal development application skills. So with that, I ended up volunteering for World on Poverty at the time, which was housed inside of SP Livingston. And from that, it opened the door for me to work with Duval County Public Schools as an outreach coordinator and an advocate for personal development application skills. At that time, I saw the fluctuation of gang and gun violence that was getting ready to emerge in our city with our teenagers. However, at the time, with the people that I was connected with, they didn't think that was the issue. They said literacy is the issue. And I was like, no, personal development application skills. I come from this side of town. I grew up with these people who now have children. And what we're seeing concerning our homelessness, concerning our crime, concerning not being able to keep recidivism down, we lack personal development application skills, right? So we can go and get the information, but how do we apply that to our life? So with this, I ended up being the information specialist and program manager, eventually at Newtown Success Zone, and I created the Vision Keepers model that dealt with the socioeconomic infrastructure of every person individually and created a full personal development curriculum. From that, I got connected with Care Violence, as you all know, it's going now. But for 4.5 years, I worked with Care Violence as the lead outreach worker. And although our model was to interrupt, to detect and interrupt the transmission of violence through changing community norms, one aspect that we lacked was personal development. We would get people jobs, we would get them their GEDs, we would get them all the resources that they needed, and eventually we kept seeing a relapse. We treated it as if someone was going through substance abuse counseling. And a lot of people don't understand that when you're creating lifestyles, relapse is inevitable if we don't deal with the trauma that one is facing. So what I would love to do is I would love to partner with the City of Jacksonville in changing homelessness to incorporate the personal development application process. I also created what's called an IPP plan. It works like an IEP, and if you don't know, individual education plan. But the IPP is an individual projection plan. I'm also, like I said, partnered with the preservation firm. And what we work with is not just personal development, we do trauma-informed care as well as re-entry. I'm a certified intervention specialist. So I believe that if we deal with the trauma associated with personal development, we also can reduce recidivism.
So Ms. Bernadia, you get about one more minute go ahead.
Reduce recidivism, reduce homelessness, and reduce the violence that we're facing here in Jacksonville.
All right. Well, How do you feel about being on the Homeless Initiatives Commission?
If you choose me, I'm more than excited to, because like I said, I've been homeless for 3.5 years with children, so I know the in and outs of what it actually takes to get stable and remain stable.
Well, and that's the type of person that I kind of envision being on that commission. If you will, get with this gentleman right here. Just make sure he's got your contact info, and we'll kind of see if we can make sure that goes forward. And same goes for you, too. That's what happens when you come up to the podium. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Okay, we've got no other public comment cards. We wanted to welcome Councilmember Arias to the meeting. We appreciate it. And we are now adjourned. No, I'm sure. No, and I'll just give a quick recap for Councilmember Arias and then Councilmember Peluso, whatever updates you got for us. So basically, I kind of just said this meeting right here is going to be more or less an intermission type of meeting where we kind of just have, all right, what's the table setting look like? Where are we at going forward? So on and so forth. The new deadline is May 1st for the end of the special committee. The next meeting is April 1st, which that didn't change. So the rest of the meetings in May will be sent out, or April will be sent out. Kristen Reed is going to come next meeting to talk about zoning changes to allow for more density by right if those changes have already been made to the zoning. Alex Afakis will come and will kind of close out his presentation on the zoning overlay changes and the study that we talked about last time. JHFA, they're having their board meeting this Wednesday to talk about matching the $1 million. If you remember, Barney Smith was here, and he said he's going to ask his board if they can match the dollars that we already have. And then there was just a call to action to say, hey, we need to have the Homeless Initiatives Commission board members kind of, you know, appointed. So if you have anyone in mind, I know you might, just from where all these conversations kind of started from, we definitely need to kind of start compiling a list. So that's the quick recap of it. And Councilmember Peluso, did you have something that you wanted to say?
I do. Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Carlucci. So in regards to the homelessness initiatives group that we've just created, for one, huge for us to do, so that's amazing work by this committee. So I know we've still talked about getting a dedicated funding source so that for future years we actually have dollars in there. It provides more stability. As we're creating the strategic plan, which is really the first task of what this new board will be doing, we need to make sure that they're kind of knowing that they know what's going to be coming each year into the pot for the most part. State Representative Duggan, was going to have a very prime position at the legislature in the next legislative session. The polls are going the way that I think they are. And so we've already kind of had early conversations with him about ways to kind of make sure we have the ability to kind of find a different revenue source, one that's a little bit more creative than what we tried to do last year. So there's a possibility that we can kind of talk to him about what, especially early and often, about what we can get from Tallahassee to allow us to do something here. Anything we do here must go through Tallahassee. The other thing is perhaps getting developers who receive public incentives, specifically in the Downtown Investment Authority boundary. That's something that I had talked about in the past. I hope to be meeting with Brian Mall with Gateway to kind of discuss, as someone who is a large developer and going to be doing a lot of work in this city for a very long time, seeing what would be feasible and available, it's something that the development community is very open to. Maybe, 1 cent or 10 cents per square feet, of their building, every year for the next 25 years, they got to give that to the homeless trust and they can write it off as a tax write-off. So things like that could be done. That way that can help bring in some revenue streams and also get some more buy-in from kind of the business community and the development community. And then so that's more on the homeless trust side or the homeless initiative side. On the housing side, as you mentioned, the missing middle overlay. So I have a bill in bill drafting right now, and Ms. Stephopoulos can maybe speak slightly to it. But the bill's going through bill filing right now. I've talked to folks in planning. I've talked to our CRO, our Chief Resilience Officer, and I've talked with a few, you know, I've been working with NEFPA to kind of craft this bill. And it's meant to, as we mentioned a moment ago, allow for more density by right, primarily in residential low-density areas. But it will be within the zoning overlay, right? So there will be a specific missing middle overlay. That way it's not going to be throughout the entire city. Full disclosure, I would not mind. All that to say, it's meant to provide the resources that we need, especially for a city of our size, to make sure that we are actually taking the right steps that a San Francisco or an LA or a Seattle cannot take, right? They're already doomed, frankly, when it comes to how much they've already built out their communities and their cities. We have an opportunity in front of us to set Jacksonville on the right path early and often to help make sure that we are able to allow for, you know, folks in their 20s and early 30s to be able to purchase a home or purchase a domicile and not have to break the bank. As I hope everyone here knows, if you're spending over 30% or 33%, I think, of your monthly income on housing, you are already placing yourself in a very uncomfortable burden. I think that's the standard that, I don't know if it's HUD or FHA or whomever says, but yeah, if it's over 30% that you're spending per month on housing, you're in a tough spot and you might not ever be able to afford a home. The other thing I want to talk about on top of the missing middle overlay is density bonuses. Density bonuses are incredibly important. And that's certainly a private sector solution. That's a market-based solution. So, hey, if you do more infill development and if you do development in certain areas, you don't have to pay as much in mobility fees, perhaps, or maybe you don't have to pay as much in developmental fees, perhaps. But usually a density bonus doesn't say, oh, you must have a certain number of units as affordable. What can do that are other incentives. So the density bonus is, you know, a purely market-based answer to finding more housing solutions. And then I'd like to kind of see if we can bring up Mr. Hicks to possibly talk about different incentives that we could do for those developers who do say, yep, we're going to build a 100-unit building, and so 20% of those units will be at 80% AMI. You know, what incentive are we providing to people to help make sure that they're able to do that development? So again, that one's a little bit more, hey, the government's actually providing funding to do so. I know that you've been working on that, Mr. Hicks. I know I provided a few, I sent you a memo that you probably threw away already. But if you want to speak to kind of where you guys are in the process and maybe what that will look like, but, and also, do we need a vote on it in City Council, if you don't mind? If you're okay with that, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks.
That's a great question. We are working on a completion grant policy.
Name and address.
Joshua Hicks, address 13885 Ibis Point Boulevard, 32224, Jacksonville. We are working on a completion grant policy. We've had Travis Jeffrey, the Chief of Housing and Community Development. We've met with Lloyd Boyer, DIA, and also Ed Randolph, Office of Economic Development, to start laying out the groundwork for this policy that would not only support market rate developments, but also affordable housing developments when it comes to incentivizing those developments based off a percentage in completion grants. Right now, what we're seeing is certain developers pitting the city versus DIA, DIA versus the city, because there's no set policy on what we want to incentivize in terms of development projects, whether it's downtown or throughout the county. So what we're trying to do is build a matrix out using some of the HUD standards that we have. Certain percentage, $128,000 per unit, if it's new construction, something lower if it's rehab construction, and tying a completion grant proposal around those percentages as we are talking to developers. Obviously, these won't impact the $50 million developments that sometimes DIA has before them, but it would impact developments that are $10 million. If they're coming to the city asking for a $10 million completion grant, there would be a certain percentage that they can receive, and then there would be a developer fee on top of that that they would pay back into a housing fund to support that completion grant. We're also working on a loan program along the same lines because we cannot grant money out to every single development. Some needs to be loan programs as well. So we're working through that process. I'm hoping to have something to Lori and Ed to review this week for their approval. At that point, it'll go to the administration for sign-off. If they sign off on it, we will have to bring the policy in front of the council for approval before we start implementing it. But it's, once again, another way, as Councilman Peluso has said and as this committee has highlighted, another way to get incentives out there for developers to build because we need the supply because we have the demand. So that's what we're working on. And also, we've gotten contacted by a lot of developers who want to incentivize, put an affordability component to some of their market rate developments now that Live Local has gone through 2 years ago, and it was also just recently updated in this past legislative session, which includes even more additional incentives to build affordable housing. So we have developers already coming to me. I have a meeting this Thursday, actually, where they're actually taking a percentage of their units now and making them affordable so that they can qualify for Live Local, working with the city to make sure we're putting not only market rate units into the community, but the affordable and low-income units that we need.
Yeah, that's something, I mean, I would love to have, if you kind of get to a point where we can review that in this committee, that would be awesome, just to have, you know, because if it's going to come before council, I would love to have at least had a few of us on this committee kind of look at it and weigh in and so on and so forth.
If it's not completed through the chair, if it's not completed by May 1st, we'll at least make sure to give the members of this committee a heads up before, you know, moving forward
yeah.
in the process.
I mean, I think
the administration signed off.
Yeah, that'd be great. Did you have something, Councilman Peluso?
Yeah, no, I just I want to thank you for all that. Love the idea of a matrix. I think that's incredibly important. I just want to make sure that whatever we do, that we properly have it on our website, our city website, and that we really kind of push that out to the development community. Like, we need – if there's one thing I've learned about the development community, it's that they don't always like doing new things. Like, they're just kind of slow to adapt sometimes. Like, but whenever there's a really good option, they all want to go for it. So just make sure it's properly communicated, that everyone knows that this thing's going on, how they're able to get access to it, and I think we'll really see some quick progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And the food chair, Councilman Peluso, we had quite a few developers on the special the affordable housing subcommittee, transition subcommittee. And one of the things they said is even developers don't know the amount of incentives that are available out in the community that they can take advantage of. So that education and that, you know, public awareness campaign is definitely something that we're looking at in terms of getting that information out there in mass to as many developers as possible that, hey, you have money that is available, you just have to take advantage of it.
God, you're doing great work, Mr. Hicks. Great job.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hicks. Appreciate it. Did you have anything? No? Okay. All right.
Scowl at us the whole time.
he's had a rough day. No. It's okay, good. I think that's pretty much it. So if what I'm hearing from Councilman Peluso, the Missy Middle overlay legislation is kind of in the works right now, so that should be, you know, ish, plus or minus a couple, like a week or two, whatever it takes. And we'll hopefully get a copy of that as well so we can kind of look at the map. And because last time we could kind of see it, but we also were – it was kind of a first blush look. And then I love the incentive, you know, whole completion grant, like just re-looking at that. I really like that. I think that's smart. I think obviously we want to incentivize what we want and then making sure people know about it. So otherwise, I don't have anything else. Like I said, Mary, did you have anything? You're kind of looking at us over here like you need to say something.
No, thank you. I just, from the perspective of the board appointments, so there is an application process that both the council president and the mayor have. So, you know, as you're working with people who may have interest, you can just let them know there's a process depending on who's the appointing authority. The mayor has some for that commission, and the council president has some. Colleen helps to manage the council president's appointment process, along with Nikki Evans, his ECA. And then Garrett Dennis with the mayor's office is who manages and oversees the process for mayoral appointments. So I just want to put that out there. I know George is going to get some information from prospective appointees, so he can help get them connected to those individuals.
Perfect. No, I appreciate the procedural alignment there that works, that really helps. So otherwise, I don't have anything else. Like I said, this was sort of just a, you know, pause and collect and reflect type of meeting. Go ahead, Councilman Berrios.
Thank you through the chair. When are we trying to have these appointments filled by end May 1st? Is that the goal, or are we trying to?
I mean, I think, so the question was, you know, when are we we're going to try to have these appointments filled, and I believe it's 7 appointments as soon as we can. I mean, I don't know that there's a deadline on it, or did we put a deadline in the I think it was December or September.
So there were some deadlines with respect to the annual action plan and the strategic plan that I think were September and December, mm-hmm. and we discussed that we would leave those in there, recognizing if it took some time to get the full board appointed, that they might come back and ask for a pushback on those deadlines. The other thing we did was we kept the qualifications, very broad, because we wanted to allow, people of all different backgrounds, but with a tie to the Homelessness and Affordable Housing Committee or community to be able to potentially apply. I will say, though, that those that are seated on the commission, we just need to be mindful that if they work with an entity or an agency that would be interested in receiving funding that may go through the Homelessness Commission, that they would not be able to receive funding because they would have a conflict if they're sitting on the commission and representing an entity that ultimately might be seeking funding through commission process. So that's just something that's one of the other reasons we kept those qualifications so broad.
Right. Got it. Thank you so much.
And through the chair, it was 4 from the council president and 3 from the mayor's appointment, correct?
Thank you. That's correct. And council president, thank you for joining us. We are literally right about to adjourn, but if you have anything you want to add, we were just going over the Homeless Initiative Commission, where you have 4 appointments, and we actually identified one young lady who's here, Bernadia. Raise your hand, Bernadia. Right there, as a potential candidate who is maybe interested in applying. So other than that, we're kind of doing a call to action to make sure we get that board filled up as quickly as possible.
You addressed something that I caught the end of, and it's very important to me. People with conflicts, if people are receiving dollars, can they still serve on this board? Did you just address that?
Sure. Thank you, through the chair, to council president. So we just discussed that we kept the qualifications very broad, specifically because if a person is seated on this commission and then that commission is making decisions with respect to funding particular agencies, those commissioners would have a conflict. So that if they work with an entity that would like to pursue funding through a commission process, then they would be precluded from doing so because of that conflict. So we kept the qualifications very broad with the hopes that you could still find people with ties to the homelessness and affordable housing community to get them on that board, but that may not also be seeking that funding through the commission.
So
similar to PSG Council.
You guys could not serve.
We're going to get money through the commission. If we get money through other venues, we're okay.
Right. So it's just like Public Service Grants Council. We have them scoring and selecting and awarding grant dollars each year. The people on that council obviously are not in a position to apply for any of the grants that are issued by that. So it would be a similar type of thing. If they're getting funding other places, that's fine. But if they at all wanted to qualify for grants that could be awarded through a commission process utilizing that Homelessness Initiatives Fund, then they would have a conflict.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
All right. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. I mean, ultimately, for the commission, ideally we want people who wouldn't even be being put in that position, but there is a mechanism in place that, you can not vote on things if your organization has that. But the look and the perception is best if it's just straight members across the board who are just trying to, do the right thing for Jacksonville, and they're not trying to. The perception could be, not good if it was all board members receiving dollars. So let's just keep that in mind when we're getting applications in. Otherwise, if there's no other comments, if there's anything out there from anyone, I'm happy to open the floor since we've got the time. Seeing none, we will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have 1 more meeting? 2 more meetings?
Do you need it?
I mean,
okay. I remember it was
a list of things.
He extended it.
When you requested to extend it. I came and was like, please, sir, can we?
That was passive aggressive.
I was like, all right.
I missed.